everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR with the people who are getting it done. So today we're broadcasting live. We're in Chicago. We're at SHRM 13. We're actually in the bloggers, the media lounge, specifically for the social media lounge for bloggers. So you'll hear probably a little more background noise than usual, which is all right because it's people creating content and all the social, about 40 different people that are actually covering it from a social media perspective. And so it is just good energy, good things going on here. And we want to get to our guest because she is definitely one of my favorite practitioners, volunteer leaders, moms. Let's just go down the list. And so it'll be a great conversation today. So, and also, real quick, I just wanted to mention that I got to meet in person. So every once in a while, you get to meet somebody that you know through the Twitters and the Facebooks, the interwebs, and I got to meet in person Miss Rita Jackson, so with HR Marketer, and it was an absolute delight, so charming, and hopefully we get to spend a little more time together over the next couple of days, because I really want to see exactly what she's got going on in the space. So a little shout out to Rita. So okay, let's get to our guest, because she is going to educate and inspire, maybe change your life today. So I'm not that I'm setting the standard high. This is a daily conversation with Tiffany Keel. Welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Nisha. So great to be on the air live. The first time I did Drive Through HR was at the Minnesota SHRM State Conference last year. We did a panel that was exciting. So thank you very much to you guys for having me back. Pleasure to be here.
Well, Tiffany, if you would introduce yourself, a little bit about you, what you do, what you care about and everything, and then after that we'll roll into what's kind of top of mind and maybe keeping you up at night.
Excellent. As you mentioned, Brian, my name is Tiffany Keel, and I am an HR practitioner, talent management, talent acquisition professional based out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Currently working for a large global organization called Honeywell International, heading up staffing talent acquisition for one of the four business groups within that organization. There are about 132,000 employees working for Honeywell across the globe. Automation and control solutions makes up about 80,000 of that population. That's the business that I support. I have three businesses within automation and control solutions that I'm responsible for, just understanding what's going on in talent acquisition, developing strategy, working with recruiters, working with HR business partners, working with managers within those organizations all throughout the world, primarily focused on North America. However, because we are such a matrix organization, I do work directly with several of the folks across the globe, helping them to manage their staffing needs. And we do have a recruitment process outsourcing venture in several parts of the world. In the U.S. and Canada, we work with Ronda Sourceright, so I partner with them on a daily basis. We also work with Careers International in China and Hudson and Hayes out of Europe.
Well, that's cool, Tiffany. And it's really an honor for me that I get to spend some real time with you yesterday, and I'm meeting you in real life. So I'm so happy for this SHRM annual conference.
It's a great, great venue. It's wonderful to be here, to be able to interact with some of the folks you talk with and interact with online and actually do that in real life. Had the opportunity to attend the SHRM conference last year, and I had kind of a list of folks in mind that I wanted to meet, and then getting to see them again this year, and then, over the last year, growing my professional network online, getting to meet some additional folks this year. It's just been phenomenal. Of course, last night being able to chat with you and have dinner was wonderful.
Yeah, I'm also meeting a lot of people in real life throughout these whole 2 days, and then taking photographs and then Instagramming and tweeting and then all over social media. I can see people are really having a great moment at Sri Emmanuel Conference. So what's keeping you up at night these days?
I am essentially a night owl. I would really stay up all night if I could, but I've got work that needs to be done during the day. If I think about some of the things going on, like I said, you know, I work for a large international organization, so there are a ton of moving parts. On the tactical level, it's making sure that the people I'm supporting and the team that I'm working with on a daily basis have the tools and resources they need to be effective and bring the right talent into the organization. On a bigger level, it's about developing the strategies, measuring the effectiveness of those strategies. And it's also, I'm a list maker, so as I'm getting ready for my day, for my week, I need to make sure that I'm keeping track of things that need to get done. So whether it's, you know, something as simple as following up or developing a presentation, reviewing metrics, identifying what story those metrics are telling me, and then developing a strategy to address any deficiencies in the process or in the service that me and my team are providing. That's what really does kind of keep me up at night. Maybe if I have my checklist and things on my list aren't getting done, which, you know, a day in the life in HR and day in the life of recruiting, it changes from hour to hour, minute to minute. So keeps me up at night. Yep, that pretty much sums it up.
Well, that's interesting. So, you know, about metrics and big data, people have a lot of data in their hand. But from your perspective, as a talent acquisition professional, what metrics that a talent acquisition professional should take care and then focus on and then look in detail and then so that they can create a strategy and be successful in the job that they are doing?
Nisha, that is a fantastic question, and I think it's a question that a lot of people ask. Few things that I do look at and do recommend that other talent acquisition professionals look at, in no particular order here, but definitely time to fill or cycle time, especially if you're in a manufacturing organization, we can relate that information to managers when you're talking about OTR or on time to request. So definitely cycle time or time to fill. We also look at how long requisitions are open. We can have metrics and targets around the number of requisitions that are open over a certain time period. If a role is open longer than 60 days, longer than 90 days, we can take a look at it and put a critical care plan into place. So looking at those types of metrics. Also, something that we call dwell time, and what that is, the period throughout the staffing process where a recruiter is giving a hiring manager a candidate to review or schedule an interview, and the time between the candidate and the hiring manager handing that candidate over back to the recruiter is what we call dwell time. So how long is it taking managers to review the candidate information, schedule the interview, and get back to the recruiter? We also, within Honeywell, have hiring manager satisfaction rating surveys. We also have candidate satisfaction surveys. So looking at that on a weekly basis, and if we're not meeting our target, then I'm picking up the phone and I'm giving managers a call and saying, hey, what happened? What could we be doing differently to improve our process so you have a better experience next time? So some of the key metrics would be time to fill, dwell time, requisition aging, and any satisfaction-type surveys or metrics that you have for your organization.
That's really interesting because you talked about satisfaction surveys from two perspectives, from a hiring manager perspective and from a candidate's perspective. And talking about, you know, metrics, we always stress on the cost of hire, but at the same time, we cannot compromise on the cultural aspect or the cultural fit of a candidate. So what's your take on providing a candidate experience, but at the same time, we have to have that balance of cost of hire?
That is a great question. Haven't really had the opportunity to think about that, but when I think about candidate experience, I was recently at a local recruiting networking session in the Minneapolis area, and we were talking about candidate experience and, you know, when does it really start and end? And it really starts, in my opinion, with how they're interacting with your organization, whether they're interested in you or they're active as a candidate and they're seeking you out as an employer. But how are you presenting yourself to customers? How are you presenting yourself to potential candidates? Are you using social media tools to brand yourself and market yourself? So candidate experience is extremely important even before people click that apply now button and send you their resume. But as far as, you know, the candidate experience and, you know, the cost of hire, you know, you really have to take a look at what tools are going to work for you as an organization. You don't want to just go out and use every tool imaginable because that doesn't make sense. Well, if you're looking for a marketing communications person and you're spending all your time using an engineering-based website to source talent, you're wasting time and money. So you have to really be smart about where you're going to find your talent and skinny it down to really target who you really are looking for. And that's going to impact your cost per hire.
Nice, Tiffany. So to kind of continue on kind of the, you know, the candidate experience, so the term that, and actually I've got to have been very lucky and have got to be on the survey committee for the Candidate Experience Awards this year, which has been fantastic because you got, you know, going through every single question, going through how the ratings work, just going through all the employer side and the candidate side has actually been very amazing and a little bit eye-opening to what actually all the data points are because you spend so much time with them. And one of the things that I think has been interesting and is more top of mind actually for myself, and I want to get your take on it, is the term brand advocacy. So what do you think about actually building your talent acquisition strategy around an actual brand advocacy strategy? Do you think that it's – I mean, obviously there's crossover. There has to be. But the interaction starts, the brand starts way before the phone call or an email. So what do you think about building and making the cornerstone of your talent acquisition strategy around being a brand advocate?
I think it's a great strategy. Next question. I got you, Brian. No, it is a really good question, and I think it is a great way to enhance or build off of the marketing. And like I said, the candidate experience really does start before the candidate applies for a position. So how are you branding yourself, marketing yourself? So I think that ideally what would happen is that you would have that branding strategy or that employment or employer brand out there in the marketplace, in people's face, before people even are thinking about, you know, considering making a move. So I think the two do go hand in hand, but I do think if you do the cart before the horse thing or chicken before the egg thing, the brand has to come first.
Well, I'm gonna do a quick reset, and then I've got a question to kind of continue on the brand advocacy kind of stream of consciousness here. So, everybody, you're listening to Drive Through HR. It's Brian and Nisha on with Tiffany Keel today. We're actually in the social media bloggers lounge, who was actually our friends at Dice are a sponsor. Very, very nice. Great job again, and lots of amazing people here today. So good energy. You can hear the roar in the background of content being created, relationships being cemented. So thank you for listening, everybody. SHRM 13 currently, and also thank you to Curtis Midkiff for always being such a wonderful host to us for the show and a big supporter all the time. So Tiffany, there's a couple companies, which I started to see this, actually 84 Lumber, years ago, this has probably been 10 years ago, what they did is, like, every single person that worked at that company had, like, magnets on the side of their car. They had bumper stickers. They had shirts made up. Everybody had hats. I mean, everything that you could throw a slap a brand on had 84 Lumber. And I asked them, I was at their corporate office in Pennsylvania, and I asked them about that, and they said, you know what? Everybody sells. Everybody drives the brand. Everybody's a recruiter. And we do that with slapping. I mean, put it all over everything. And it's not required, but it's encouraged, which, I was good up until the point that they said it was encouraged. And I'm like, well, you know, it's a little bit forced. But still, you know, maybe it's the fake it till you make it. So what are your thoughts around just going all in, like slapping the brand on anything that's walking, not walking, moving, I mean, you name it?
I think it would work if you've got the culture to support it. You can't necessarily force culture. So it's a great concept, I think, but it's something that, in my opinion, you would need to have the culture that supports it. So if you've got, you know, a ton of people walking around with swag on, great, but you don't want someone, you know, wearing your company logo if they're not happy with your organization.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tiffany. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Talking about the cultural aspect, and to agree to what Brian has mentioned, you know, there's always a disconnect that I have noticed is like what companies say they are and what it is really when you get to know the process, especially for the candidates, you know, that initial time that they get to know to the process. So they really understand there is a disconnect in that initial moment. So what's your take on, or what's your advice to those companies or to those recruiters to follow their promises and represent their company in a better fashion, what they are exactly is, in order to represent their employer brand?
That also is a very good question. I think it comes from, you know, leadership and leaders within the organization, whether they are in HR or they're in finance or they're the CEO or the president of the business, but it's leaders, it's as basic and elementary as walking the talk. Mm-hmm. If you've got your leadership walking through the halls of your organization and they're living the values that, you know, you've got on the plaque on the wall and you've got posted on your website, then, you know, doing things like that is going to be all that much easier. But if you've got leaders who are not engaged or they're doing one thing and saying another, you're going to have employees who are not going to be as willing to, you know, be an advocate for your brand and for your organization.
That's great. And you mentioned a little bit about the tools and technologies and then choosing the right one that is suitable to the organization. And we all know that there isn't any cookie cutter for everybody. So we have to find out what's really unique for each and everyone. So what's your advice to those organizations who will help them to choose their tools and technologies? Or what's your thoughts on what are some points that they need to consider while choosing these tools and technologies?
I think it's helpful for organizations to identify what their needs are. So if you're like me, working in a recruiting role, it's, you know, what do I need as a recruiter to be effective in my role? Just as a large organization, what are the things that I need from a supplier or what I need from a tool in order to be effective and to execute the roles and responsibilities related to my job? And then once you've identified that, you know, one of the best ways, I think, to get the right tools is to, you know, start asking vendors. And you could go through a formal RFP process and call people in, have them, you know, present their information to you, get back to you, you know, put together your request for proposal, request for information, however you want to do it, and say, here are my list of demands. Can you meet these demands? And then have them come in and say, okay, prove it. Show me what you got. What are your current customers saying? And then make a choice, to, you know, based on what the suppliers or the people providing the tool have to say, and do they match up with, your company values and what it is you need to be able to do in your organization.
Nice, Tiffany. So I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit here. Return the favor from earlier, I might add. You're all in. You got a big job with talent acquisition, big company. I mean, you're busy professionally. So you're a mom, you're a wife. I mean, you got a lot of stuff family wise. You got rocking. You're doing all that stuff, and you are the president of a Sherm chapter, and you're starting to blog more. So what exactly is some of your drivers around continuing to add things on? I mean, you're obviously a go-getter. That's why you're on DriveThruHR. That's a given. But you just share a little bit of kind of what makes you tick around that, and because it seems like it's just a lot.
It really doesn't feel like a lot. It just gets done. As far as the blogging piece of it, I was kind of coerced and convinced, and someone, took my arm and twisted it and said, "Hey, I think you're great, so I think you should give it a try." And I'm really enjoying the blogging piece of it. So I am a contributor on a multi-contributor site called Performance I Create, headed up by the two Chrises, so Chris Ponder and Chris Fields. And Chris Fields was one of the folks, one of my homies, my HR homies, who gave me a call and said, "Hey, I really think you should consider this." And I was kind of on the fence. And then the HR czar, Dave Ryan, called me out of the blue and said, "Hey, you got to do it." So here I am, loving it, being challenged, just thinking about things differently. So if you haven't checked it out already, go on to Performance I Create. You'll see Chris Ponder, Chris Fields, Dave Ryan, Steve, the godfather of HR, Brown, Sarah Williams, formerly known as Buzz Rooney, Melissa Fairman, who's HR Remix, Jay Kuhn, my hockey buddy, and Justin here, the unlikely HR guy and cigar aficionado. So all of us contributing different points of view, different perspectives to Performance I Create. But as far as, fitting it all in, I've had conversations recently with several people about just, people being busy, people, organizations expecting more with less, just about making time for the things that are important. So definitely hanging out with my family, going to the Twins game, hanging out at Target Field, which is my second home in the summer, go Twins. You just make time for it. It's one of those things where, after I'm done volunteering with the Twin Cities Human Resource Association, which I've been doing since 2002, I think I'm going to find that I'll have a lot of free time and I may not know what to do with myself.
That's one of my favorite things, like blogging, because that's where I get to meet a lot of people, connect with a lot of people, and then especially help me grow as a person from an HR perspective, from a professional perspective, and from a personal perspective. So I'd like to hear your experience of being a blogger, being a writer, and being a multi-contributor. How that changed you as a person and you as a profession? I mean, professional, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it helps me to think about situations on the job and conversations that I have with other HR professionals a little bit differently. And, is there a story there? Is there something that I can learn from that? Can I help other people learn and grow and develop based on those experiences? I've really been challenged in a good way and pushed to, do something different. So it's really, I'm enjoying it. It's not something that I think I would have naturally gravitated toward, but it kind of stemmed from, getting out there and being active socially online and then seeing what other folks are doing, getting involved in listening to Drive Through HR every once in a while and hearing what other folks are doing. But I'm really finding that the blogging is a good way to kind of even if it's a situation where I've had a bad day, you know, maybe I had a candidate who used profanity and told me to, you know, do something inappropriate and then hangs up and, you know, I have to call security and call, you know, my HR business partner to help address it. Making that into a story and how to handle it, be professional and learn and develop and grow from those situations. I'm thoroughly enjoying the, you know, being able to put pen to paper, so to speak.
Interesting. And then especially blogging is something that that we need to keep up, that we need to stay current and we need to read a lot, and especially you're working, so you have a lot of stories to share from your work world. And I know all the bloggers, they are great storytellers. But at the same time, I'd like to know your advice to those who are not yet started for blogging but yet thinking about it. So how do you encourage them? How do you advise them to bring some content? And then how blogging helps build a career?
That's a tough question for me to ask, considering how new I am to this particular space. Some of the things that I've learned from others who are in the blogging arena are, you know, take a look at, you know, what's going on around you, how can you, you know, help use your story to either improve the situation next time, mm-hmm. or, you know, how do you make it into a positive situation? So, you know, something terrible happened and, you know, here's the action I took and here's the result. Mm-hmm. Now I know next time this happens, I'll do it differently or do it better. One of the things I think, you know, someone who is looking at getting into the blogosphere is to take a look at some of the other blogs that are out there and, you know, are there styles that they gravitate toward? Are there lessons that they've learned reading other people's experiences and stories? And just, you know, take a look around and see, you know, is this something that you want to do and start, you know, making connections and interact with folks that have been out on the scene for quite a while.
Well, Tiffany, we got about 2.5 minutes left, so probably the last question is, tell us a little bit about your SHRM chapter and being at annual conference and just kind of what that all means to kind of you and for the professionals that are out there that maybe aren't as involved as they could be.
Great. So it's the Twin Cities Human Resource Association. We're based out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. We have actually been around for over 60 years. We're one of the first local chapters mm-hmm. to affiliate with SHRM. We serve mm-hmm. about 1,100 members. I actually joined the association in 1999, and the whole intent behind joining was to build my network and learn from others in the industry, learn from others in the area. While attending grad school, one of my professors asked if I would be interested in volunteering. He, at the time, was a board member, and he said, hey, you know, I think it would be great for you to get involved and get to meet some other people, some other, you know, leaders within the industry in the area. So I joined the committee, and then that was 2002, and I stepped into a board role in 2004 and have been part of the board since then. One of the reasons I continue on is because I have the ability to network, interact with folks, and get to do things mm-hmm. outside of work that I normally wouldn't get to do at work. All right.
Well, Tiffany, thank you so much. Nisha. Great job. I'm tongue-tied. It was such a good interview. So, okay, folks, we're out of here. We're going to continue on with SHRM 13. We're out.